This is Mark Twain Speaks. Kindly listen as Mark Twain performer Don McNeil brings the wit and wisdom of America's favorite humorist to life. Everyone is welcome, and cigar smoking is encouraged.
This is Mark Twain again. And again, I've been assured that if I speak into this device, somebody, for whatever god-awful reason, will have occasion to listen to it. So for those of you who do that, thank you. I'd like to talk today about introductions. Now, those of you who know about me know that I prefer to do my own introductions, because that way I'm able to get in all the facts. Because a lot of times people who introduce a speaker are not complimentary enough. And I love compliments. I love to hear them. I love to repeat them. I'd repeat them at home if anyone would believe me. I even like to dream about them. So when I do my own introductions, I often give it to the Toastmaster, Sergeant at Arms, whoever is opening the meeting. And one of my favorite openings is an overstated compliment, hyperbole. I often have the person introduce me as Mark Twain, the great writer. And it gives me a chance to roll my eyes as if I'm being shy, which of course I'm anything but. And when I get up, I usually say, as if I'm caught by surprise, great writer. I'm always concerned when I'm introduced in that manner, great writer. Shakespeare is dead. Chaucer is dead. And I'm not feeling very well myself. It's a way of getting a cheap opening laugh. At least that's what I hope for. Or sometimes I'll say, introduce me as a great humorist. And I usually respond to that opening by pretending to be caught off guard again, and then saying, great humorist. Well, time will tell. I hope the audience thinks so 10 minutes from now. My favorite all-time introduction. So many years ago, in the Nevada country, long before it was a state, I was living in a community of miners. And I was asked to say a few words at the beginning of a miners' meeting. I don't remember why, but I was not sufficiently notorious. And a man was designated to introduce me. Well, the man complied. He stood up. He looked at me, not knowing what to say. So he began this way. I only know two things about this man. One, he's never been in prison. And two, I don't know why. I wish I could say I made that up, but that actually happened. And it's an introduction I'll never forget. On rare occasions, I'll start by saying absolutely nothing. And I did this once at a dinner event in Connecticut. I decided to take the pause to the extreme by putting it in front of my talk. I was introduced. I went to the center of the stage. And I stood and said nothing. Didn't shuffle my feet. Didn't move my cigar. My eyes scanned the audience. The crowd grew quieter and quieter. At first, they had darting glances at one another, wondering what the hell was going on. And you could feel the tension in the room start to build. When finally, after perhaps 3 minutes, the audience couldn't take it anymore. And an elderly woman in the audience broke. She burst out laughing. And when she did, that was a release for the entire audience of over 300 people. And they all burst into laughter. And I stood on the stage looking at them, deadpan, without saying a word. And that was the night I took the pause to the ultimate. And the result was expected, but it was also extreme. Now, I also like to start, if my wife happened to be in the audience, I love to refer to my wife because women like that. Women always like when the husband comes across as the idiot who is worried about displeasing his wife. So I would sometimes start in this fashion. The presence of my wife here tonight dictates that I begin in a little different manner. My wife says that I'm too harsh with people. I am sometimes rude. Well, I know she's right. So tonight I'm going to start in a gentler manner to please my wife. Good evening. If there are any doctors in the audience, I'm sorry. If there are any lawyers in the audience, I'm very sorry. And if there are any politicians, you should be sorry. Now, I learned over the years, over a long career, that nothing gets a quicker laugh than making fun of politicians, and especially congressmen. Nothing draws a laugh any quicker. And I've always been happy to take advantage of that fact. Now, I often start by referring to the person who introduced me. And I often do it in a funny manner, not meaning to make fun of the person. But one of my favorite openings is to refer to something that wasn't done by the opening speaker. Now, I noticed before I was introduced, nothing was said about fire safety. Now, some of you know that I'm director of an accident insurance company in Hartford, so safety is always paramount in my mind. Well, it happened that one evening, I was sitting at home, and there was a fire no more than one block from my house on Farrington Avenue. I took action immediately. I got up, lit a cigar, walked toward the scene of the fire. When I arrived, the fire department was not there yet. It was a two-story home, consumed in flames. There was a man standing in a second-story window, crying out for help. The flames were right behind him. He couldn't have lasted too much longer. Everybody stood and watched. Nobody did a thing. nobody except for me. I called for a rope. When the rope arrived, I threw one end up. The man caught it. I said, tie it around your waist. He tied it around his waist, and I pulled him down. The coroner reported that the man died with no burn injuries. Now, I can tell you that the pause after I pulled him down and before I said the words the coroner reported were always a time of looking at people with blank looks on their faces as they wondered what happened to the man who I pulled to the ground. And when I said the words, the coroner always brought forth a thunderclap of laughter. People were laughing despite the fact that they suddenly had realized that the man was dead. But it became one of my favorite opening stories. I often talked about health issues. I would tell the audience that I was glad to be before them because I had had health issues very recently. They had read about the health issues in their newspaper, and the health issues were accurate. Finally, a newspaper story that was correct. And I would go on with the story something like this. I was so sick, I did something I hate doing. I deplore doing. I went to a doctor. The doctor examined me, and when he was finished, he said, Mr. Twain, I can't help you. I said, why not? He said, you drink a quart of whiskey a day. You smoke cigars by the cargo, and you use horrible language. I said, well, doctor, I only drink whiskey as a preventative of a toothache, and I've never had a toothache. He said, that won't answer. You must amend your habits. Well, I had no choice but to agree. So for 30 days, I gave up whiskey, I gave up cigars, and I stopped cussing. After 30 days, my ailments became discouraged and left me. And I went right back to drinking, smoking, and cussing. Well, not long after that, I met an elderly woman who said, Mr. Twain, I have the same ailments you had, but I see that now you're healthy. How are you able to regain your health? And I said, ma'am, you must follow my instructions to the letter. She agreed. I said, you must stop smoking. You must give up whiskey. And you must stop cussing. She said, Mr. Twain, I don't do any of those things. And she died. She was a sinking ship with no ballast to throw overboard. She had neglected her habits. And my advice to you is to never do that. Now, this session has come to an end. My goal was to tell you how I like to start speeches, and I feel like I've accomplished that. Thank you very much.